Hi, my name is Jeffrey Reed. I'm one of the directors at Lifeway Kids, and this is a great podcast today. It's actually going to be short and sweet because the components are so critical. They can be unpacked, but just knowing sort of these components and what is essential for your kids to hear. And so it's really a very simple question that I have. Bill Emiot here. Bill is one of the leaders on our Lifeway Kids team. Say hi, Bill.
Hi, Bill. I mean, hi, Jeffrey.
Yeah, and he's great, great guy. And he's got some. He's been working with church leaders for years. He goes out and serves them every day. And so I've asked him to kind of come up with these are three things. And this is something that if you're a kids ministry leader, you can use and you can tell your leaders to use. What three things should a kid hear or feel more specifically on a Sunday morning? Or I don't want to limit this because it could be a Saturday night or Wednesday night. When they're in your ministry space at your church, what are the three most important things they could hear? And again, this is a pretty meaty podcast, even though it's short, because these are critical ideas. These are three things it's like if you forgot everything else, they should hear this. Bill, I'm going to let you run with it and just give me those things one at a time.
Three things, yeah. Jeffrey, I think that every child needs to hear when they come to your church. They need to hear that they're loved. They need to know that they're they can have fun and a safe environment, and they need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ in some way that may not be spilt out, A, B, C, but in some way they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. It may be just lived out in your example in front of them, but they need to hear those three things.
Yeah. The first was safe?
No, the first one was love.
Oh, safe. First was love.
Yeah,
sorry.
I think boys and girls need to know that they're loved. Unconditional love. I tell teachers all the time, God has not called you to like the boys and girls in your classroom, but he commands you to love them, and he does that. He wants you to do that unconditionally. A lot of times, boys and girls, the only Bible they may read will be the one that you display in your life in front of them. So they need to know that they're loved. They need to know that it doesn't matter what they look like or what they smell like or how they're dressed or what where they come from, that they're loved.
Okay, I'm going to ask you the first trigger question in my mind that in response to that, agreed 100%. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm a kid, and I was like this. I show up in your church, and I can't sit still. I'm a little rowdy.
Right.
And how do you as a teacher let me feel that without me going crazy in your classroom?
Yeah, well, I think it's about recognizing that you're demonstrating God's love to them. So how am I going to react to your rowdiness? We can do a whole nother podcast on guiding behavior in the classroom.
Yeah.
But, understanding that most kids genuinely want to please adults. So if they're acting out, there's probably a reason behind it. And then seek what that is. If kids know that you care about them, then that's half the battle. So letting them understand that I'm not just wanting you to act or behave well so that I can get through my session or my lesson plan, but I want you to do this so that you can succeed and so that our classroom can succeed. So we're going to correct them gently when necessary. We're going to love them. You don't get expelled from Sunday school. I think you can get suspended, but you are welcomed back as soon as we get this under control. So we're going to make sure that regardless of a child's actions or their vocabulary or their smell or any of those things, that they know that they're loved in this place.
Wow, that's awesome. Second is sort of connected to that,
right,
is that they feel safe.
They feel
unpack
safe.
Unpack that for me and unpack what that means to a parent, too.
Right. There's a lot of places where boys and girls might go and not feel safe. And we need to make sure that in our churches, whatever that might look like, it may be in a school, it may be in a traditional setting, but wherever that is, that they feel safe. They feel a sense that while I'm here, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be protected. I'm not going to be hurt in any way, physically or emotionally. I'm going to be safe. Parents need to understand that and know that too. For parents, it probably plays out in more concrete terms, like, is there some form of check-in here? Can anybody come get my child while I'm away from them? Are we very clear that children are safe, physically safe, in our facilities? That would even include identifying your leadership as approved leaders who, hopefully, have been through some form of training to know what is appropriate, what's not appropriate, what's good, what's
can't neglect that.
You can't neglect anything with safety, because with all that comes this hyphen, or the second part of this second word is fun. We want boys and girls to have fun. We want it to be a great experience for them. We want them to know that serving Christ and knowing Jesus is fun, but not at the expense of safety. So those two things in my head go hand in hand.
So, okay, no dodgeball with water balloons.
Well, maybe with water balloons, just not with baseballs.
It's interesting. I've seen sometimes leaders afraid to, like if a parent shows up and they don't have the badge and it's like, well, I know you, and I deal with this at every church. I think parents would know you're a little stickler about the security of their kids, and you're willing to give them a hard time even though you know them, over just letting somebody go, because that happens more and more these days.
And being consistent with that. And we can't let one parent go get by with it and another parent not.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's good. So there's two folks there that need to know that it's safe. One, the kids, but also the parents need to know. And then the third, which – I hate that we even say it, but we really do need to consider the third thing kids need to hear, which is sadly enough often neglected in kids' ministry, because we do focus on the fun, and we hopefully will get to that eventually at some point. Maybe some churches might even feel like, you know what, we're gonna do this maybe at Easter or maybe at Christmas.
Right.
But what's your third one that you feel like is just unpack that for us?
Sharing the gospel. And you know, it may have been listed for this podcast as third, but in some way it's the overarching thing that I want kids to hear. It's number one, but sometimes you have to get there through safety, love, all that, those kind of things. I want kids to hear the gospel consistently.
Does that mean you preach about Jesus and dying on the cross every week? Is that your lesson? Because a lot of leaders assume that, like, well, how do you preach the gospel every week? Talk about that briefly.
I don't think it's that you preach that particular Bible story every week, but I think that everything you preach points back to that. So if you're teaching an Old Testament Bible story, it still points to Christ in some way. And some curriculum lines share that and give you those.
It's intentional every week.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Others, you may have to think through that. But if you look through a curriculum line and you don't see the word Jesus in it in a given session, there may be a problem. In my mind, I think that and then as a teacher, if that's the curriculum line you've been given to teach, you go find him. You find Christ in that Bible story, or where that Bible story can help boys and girls relate to Christ. Just today I taught a Bible story out of Daniel, but the bottom line was it was about trusting Christ, trusting God to be our Savior, just like He saved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace, He can save us as well. So that's how that happens. It's still a great traditional Bible story that kids love to learn, but sharing the gospel with them, being intentional about sharing the gospel. If you don't know where you're going, you won't know if you get there. So begin with the end in mind. What is this? What is the point? Why are we here? What are we aiming for? And then back it up, and then you'll get it.
It's not something we get to. It's why we do children's ministry.
It's why we're here,
and it's critical. And I would recommend anybody listening, if you are using a curriculum and you have to write in the gospel, I would change the curriculum, because you have a system that you're having to add the gospel to, and it should be. Again, it doesn't have to be every lesson, but it should be a component of, an undercurrent of every lesson that you teach. And honestly, even small group leaders that maybe are doing their own thing and writing their own curriculum tend to know how to share the gospel. I would recommend to every leader out there to understand what Bible verses are going to unpack it for kids, how to share it with kids, and also how to share it with their parents. Because we also know that when we do these three things that you've mentioned, we very often will lead parents to Jesus as well. So, Bill, thank you so much for being with us today on this brief but critical podcast. And we know you're going to have some more to share with us in the coming months and years on Lifeway Kids Podcast. Thank you guys for being with us. My name is Jeffrey Reed, and we here at the Lifeway Kids team hope more than anything else that God will use you in ways bigger than you can imagine to reach more kids and families than you ever thought possible with the hope of Jesus Christ.